This is Stateside. I'm Bryce Huffman, in for April Baer. My Brother's Keeper is an organization founded by former President Barack Obama to help connect black men of all ages to their communities and each other. The chapter of My Brother's Keeper in Washtenaw County is one of the first in the nation. One of the leaders of that group is a man who began his career as an aspiring rapper, finding moderate success first with a hip-hop group called Athletic Mike League, and later as a solo artist. Now Jamal Bufford uses music and poetry to help connect members of My Brother's Keeper. The result is a new album and documentary titled Formula 734. I spoke with Bufford about the project and his work. Here's our conversation. So let's talk about Formula 734. I give thanks to my mama, she raised me. Make sure I was prepared by the time I hit 18. How'd you come up with the idea for that?
So the idea came from wanting to bring communities of Washtenaw County together. Young men and older men who might be from Ann Arbor area, who haven't experienced Ypsilanti that much, don't go out to Ipsy. And the same for brothers that are from Ypsilanti who may not venture out to Ann Arbor. You know, it's only separated by, I don't know, 5 to 10 miles. Is, you know, it's neighboring cities. You know, I grew up in Ann Arbor. I've lived in Ypsilanti for most of my adult life now, you know, close to 15 years. And yeah, I just wanted to kind of bridge that quote unquote gap, you know, and let brothers know that we all have similar experiences. Not the same, you know, we all obviously have our own stories. But similar, you know, and we can build that community and that network amongst black men in the county. So that was one thing. And I just wanted to showcase the talent. You know, I've been doing this, blessed to do this a long time. I've seen a lot of musicians on this scene, and there's a lot of talent that I think should get exposure. So I wanted to help with that. Head first off, stack a whole lot of bread, count a chicken coop. You are what I said. It's a Friday, I'ma get you out today.
A griot, true to the people. My language arts lethal. A kingmaker for
decades.
They
kill our college dream, cause forward we get to a zipper of a key. A key that gets you killed when your ego gets you ran into a tree. Hope of your blossom bloom when your tombstone is weighing your roots. Don't shoot.
And then I took some of the you know, some of the background I had from my time working at the Neutral Zone and work that we've done there. And, you know, restorative practice and restorative circles, and using that for community building amongst people that may not know each other that well. And, you know, as a way to help kind of guide conversations for, you know, for powerful impact and talking about things that may be a little bit uncomfortable. So that's where the formula comes in. I wanted to bring all those different types of people and, you know, black men who, you know, our stories are not the same. We don't all have the same experience, but I wanted to show that they weren't that different either. And so that's where the formula came from. And then, yeah, I just wanted to do a project that helped us tell our story and change the narrative.
Did you find the process of making the album to be cathartic for the young men involved?
Absolutely, yeah. Some of the young men, as you'll see in the film, hopefully everybody will get to see it soon. You know, some of the young men come from, you know, some pretty traumatic experiences growing up. A couple of them are involved were involved in the juvenile justice system and are court involved. So, you know, being that support system and giving them the outlet to talk about some of the things they've been through was super powerful. You can tell that they appreciated it and that they don't get those type of opportunities a lot. So yeah, I could definitely tell that it was cathartic. And then to take it from conversation to art, and put it in song form, you know, something that they all love to do, obviously, and probably never really thought that it could be used in that way and used as a therapeutic tool. So, yeah, it was great to just be a part of it.
what have you noticed about music's ability to help young people tell their stories in a different or meaningful way?
I mean, what I've learned is music can be used in a number of different ways. It could be cathartic. It could be therapeutic. You know, one of the participants was saying, you know, music helps him, you know, when something's in his head. He was saying he was having a conversation with his mom about music. And he was like, when something in his head, it seems like the worst thing in the world. But then when you put it down on paper, it kind of helps you prioritize how to tackle whatever the issue is. It's kind of like journaling, you know, or keeping a diary, but, you know, just in poetic or music form. And so it could be used that way. It could be used, you know, prior to my role with My Brother's Keeper, I was working in a middle school here in Ann Arbor in the special needs class with working with emotionally impaired young men, young boys and girls. And I introduced music to them, you know, and working with them as a educational tool, you know, helping them learn their social studies. We would create raps when it was like around test time, and we would create social studies raps about the things they need to learn, and it helped them learn their social studies. It's fun, you know, when there's break time or when there's opportunity when you're not focusing on academics. They all want to rap anyway, so why not set up a studio, give them the access to it? You know, if they're on top of their behavior and their academics, they can earn studio time. Yeah, so I think music can be used in a number of different ways. Like angels and spirits, he said being who he was wonderful, but he got too comfortable. So out of nothing came something new.
Always making something out of nothing. Always making something. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jamal Bufford. He's a project specialist with My Brother's Keeper in Washtenaw County, and a longtime hip-hop artist from the region. Your career's had an interesting trajectory. The path that led you here started with hip-hop. You began rapping with your friends in Ann Arbor in high school. Can you tell us how you guys came together and what you were rapping about back then?
Man, we came together really because of sports. Athletic Mike League, it's seven of us. We're kind of from two different areas in Ann Arbor. Like half of us was kind of closer to Ypsilanti on the eastern side of Ann Arbor, and the other half was kind of from the north side. So we're from kind of different areas. So we got to know each other really through basketball, like playing rec basketball, AAU basketball, middle school basketball against each other. That's kind of how we started to know, because we were all pretty good. So people were talking about us around the area. So that's how we got to kind of know who we were. We weren't like all friends, but that's kind of how we got to know who we were. Like, oh, that's that one cat. Okay. Then we all ended up going to the same high school, Huron High School. So we all played sports there, played basketball there. And then we just became best friends through talking about music. Talking about basketball, you know, we were just rapping about. Really, we were rapping about being the dopest rappers. That was our whole thing, you know, which is how a lot of rappers start. From the chases, what? The finding things to be above the rest, head and shoulders. Slay your brother, step over him with his Ava Rex and Jordans. Your life is more than a bracelet and necklace holder, but y'all don't care. Y'all don't even see me. You know, we didn't have too many life experiences to talk about back then. But yeah, just talking about being the best, and we held each other accountable. We practiced like we were a sports team. And so that's where the name Athletic Mike League came from. And yeah, we really worked on our craft and we pushed each other to be the best we could be.
I like that you were just rapping about being the best rappers. That's how I think a lot of us who did rap at one point, myself included, started.
All right. No more? You don't rap anymore?
No. I do poetry still. I do slam poetry and comedy, but I gave up rap a while ago.
my bad. I know this is your interview, but give it a shot. Just one time, get a beat, get back in the booth, and just give it a shot. That's all I'm saying. All right, my bad. Back to your question. What was your question?
When did it become important to you to tell deeper and more socially conscious stories with your music?
That's a good question. I guess when I just started to pay attention a little bit more to what was going on in the world or going on around me. Yeah, just starting to try to make sense of the world and what I was seeing on the news and hearing. And I lost a good friend of mine to gun violence when I was about 13, I think. And, you know, never really had conversations about it, never really had time to process it, you know. Growing up in Ann Arbor, I definitely feel blessed. You know, I didn't have to deal with a lot of that. But it happens, you know. Unfortunately, that's an unfortunate thing. You know, gun violence is a part of our kind of being in America. And so, you know, just processing that, and then later on that talking about that led to one of my songs called 19.
He's out of order. So
my little brother 19, he in the streets crazy, thinking he grown and can't nothing faze him.
You know, it took me years to even really try to have a conversation about it, and it ended up being in rap form. So, you know, just knowing what black people deal with in this country, the systemic oppression, Jim Crow to, you know, the school to prison pipeline to, you know, all of it. Just starting to think about, all right, how is this affecting me and my people in my community?
I apologize if I freeze when I'm speaking. That don't mean I'm stupid. It means that I'm thinking.
You know, my best thing is to put it in rap. I'm not, it may not seem like it in this interview, but I really don't enjoy talking that much. It sounds crazy, but I
would have never guessed.
I just don't. And you know, my best friends will tell you, I definitely don't like talking on the phone. Like, I cannot stand talking on the phone. I would much rather text. But yeah, I'm just not, I communicate best through my music. That's my most comfortable way of communicating. It's through music.
All alone, mama down there in Stone Mountain, but I'm just a phone call away. I think about you every day. You moved back home when I was 19, but you set me straight. I cried.
Being out on my own too, you know, not living under my mom's roof. You know, 19, I was out on my own, and so I had to start making my own money and providing for myself. So I started to think about things like health insurance, you know, and paying rent and all that stuff. So all that'll like kind of shape, you know, what you start to talk about.
I didn't see my homie in the casket, 12 or 13, not really knowing what just happened. Seemed like a couple days before we was just laughing. The crazy part was that my other homie did the blast.
When it comes to helping young people tell their stories through music, how do you guide them as far as finding the words and the language that they choose?
It's interesting. I try not to get too involved in the process or interfere too much with the process. A lot of people who work with young people through hip hop, you know, and you know, no judgment at all. But some of their strategies are to, you know, if they're talking about street stuff or stuff they may have done or probably not have done, but, you know, what they hear their favorite rappers talking about, they try to implement that in their raps, and they may try to steer them away from it. You know, don't talk about the violence and the misogyny. And sometimes in my experience, that may push some young people away. And so what I try to do is I try to get them in the door, because I'd rather them be saying these things on a microphone than actually out in the community doing these things. So, and I try to lead by example. I try to with how I carry myself, but also with my own music. So I share what I like. I share what I do and say, you know, here's a different perspective. And, you know, I try to carry myself a certain way that they might want to model themselves after. And then I kind of just let them find themselves in their music. You know, because I didn't have anybody, you know, to kind of guide me. When we were coming up rapping in Ann Arbor, it was only a handful of cats that was doing it. And so we really didn't have that person to say, hey, what do we do? How do I do? You know, so I this is just my own personal thing, and people can disagree with me, and that's totally fine. I prefer to let them kind of find themselves if possible.
you have a career in hip hop, and it might not be the most conventional path for a rapper. Did you ever anticipate that hip hop and music would look like this for you?
Not at all. Nope. You know, first out starting, we all just wanted to do it because it was fun and we loved it. We graduated from high school. People around the area was telling us, hey, you guys are actually pretty good. You know, we kind of needed that confirmation and affirmation from our friends and family and people in our community to say, you got something. And once we heard that, we're like, oh, okay. So maybe we can try to make some money doing it, which could be, you know, a gift and a curse. But all in all, it was definitely a gift. You know, we saw the ups and downs in the industry. We've been through a lot. But all in, you know, but it never, the blessing in is that it never put anything taxing on our friendship and our brotherhood. You know, even when I was doing solo stuff, you know, they kind of called on me to be the solo person to kind of carry the torch for AML until we got back together. And that never really happened until last year, actually, until 2020, we made put our first project out called Playground Legends Volume 1. So it took 15 years, but we stayed brothers. You know, we were at each other's weddings and, you know, we're still uncles to those of us that have kids. So I never thought I'd be rapping at 40. When I started rapping, I never at 15, 16, I never thought I'd be rapping at 40. But really, I was like, no, I can do this as long as it's fun to me and I love it and I'm good, you know. I think people will let me know if I'm not good anymore, but that hasn't happened yet, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. So, no, I love it. You know, I definitely for sure can see myself rapping at least for another 5 years, for sure. Maybe not 10, maybe not getting closer to 50, but I can definitely see it for another couple years.
How has working with young people and My Brother's Keeper changed the perception you have of yourself and your music?
Ooh. You know, I said this in a song, and I talk about it. Like, I never really considered myself to be a leader. I kind of been kind of thrust in that role in a lot of ways over the years. Being a part of My Brother's Keeper and being in this role, I'm juggling a lot, and I guess, you know, it wasn't something that was on my mind as I was, you know, growing up, becoming an adult. But now that I'm here, I love it. You know, I guess just accepting the role of leadership and really honing in on it and saying, okay, this is who I am. This is who I am. I can do this. It's something I had to grow into that I'm still getting adjusted to, but I think I'm working towards being better at it.
Jamal Bufford, project specialist with My Brother's Keeper and rapper, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
No problem. Thank you, Bryce. It was great. Great questions, and glad to be here.
To listen to the album or screen the documentary from My Brother's Keeper, go to formula734.com.